Picking up where Alan left off this morning. And I know some of you didn't get to hear, and I'm going to tremendously summarize. It was a very powerful message. But it's exactly where the Lord is taking us as a body, and I don't mean just here in Tulsa, but everybody, you around the world that has joined yourself to this vision that was given to Pastor Dave all those years ago about taking a group of people far enough into God to bring a supernatural outpouring of revival that would be of doctrine, media, family. He would say things like, it'll be a revival of a doctrine so sounded and grounded, but the miracles will attest to it, so that the finest minds will have to evaluate and say, your God must be God. That's the vision. And for me, God's given me several, like, litmus tests. Yes, I see me doing this, so I'm going to do it. This is our possibility box that the world calls impossible. God, I don't think the word impossible is in God's dictionary. Possible is. But see, the world has no help for many of these on this box here. One of them is Marvinus, who was born with a... Marvinus is great. Victoria, her daughter, born with a brain, but it's not fully developed. She has enough of a brain to run her body, digest food, make her lungs work, make her heart work. But the way it is right now, she can't tie her shoes. She can't really have a... can't communicate with you. She needs the rest of her brain. But where on earth, medical or church, secular or spiritual, do you send Victoria? There is nobody. There is nowhere. If the Mayo Clinic could do it, we'd send her there. If anywhere else could do it, in the natural, we'd send her there. Well, how about spiritual? Well, anything's possible by the gifts. I'm not saying it couldn't happen. But there's nowhere at this moment on planet Earth, no church, no ministry that I'm aware of, where we could send Victoria. And like we could to Jesus. Okay, let me say it that way. If Jesus was still operating in Jerusalem on planet Earth, we know it's not just by the gifts. We could send Victoria on any time she could ever get in to see him. Is she coming back healed? Well, absolutely, because he never turned anybody away. I've already done that homework assignment. If you doubt me, do it yourself. Now, he didn't walk through town and heal every single person in the village. But you check it out for yourself. There's not a single case where someone came to him for healing of any kind that they did not get what they came for. Amen? So, the litmus test for me... Gary, when will we know we have arrived? That's not the best way. We're pressing towards revival. We're pressing towards this outpouring. Now, there's going to be progressive even as we go through it. But to me, the litmus test the Lord has given me, it's not revival until Victoria has her brain. For me, it's not revival until Homer Betancourt, which is Bronc Flint's associate pastor, until Homer has his eyesight back and that toe. Let's get the toe also. And Tommy Perez, we're not going to leave Tommy out. He's on here also. Of course, he's a lot older now, but that's Tommy from a long time ago. He's in his 40s now. He has a cerebral palsy, I believe it is. And he knows you're there. He's glad to see you. The only way he can kiss, his teeth are kind of buck teeth, but he'll take your hand and he'll touch his teeth to your hand, and that's the way he can kiss. And Lynn gets him to laugh. His mother gets him to laughing so hard, it's almost great kid. Would Jesus leave him in the wheelchair? Absolutely not. So this really ties in with what Alan was saying this morning. And even as I say this, and Alan was trying to do it too, we thank God for anybody that's doing anything for the gospel. We are actually standing on the shoulders of many great men and women who went before us. Actually going all the way back to Martin Luther, starting, you know, established doctrine again, coming out of the Dark Ages. And so many pioneers, men and women. You know, think of the Smith Wigglesworths, the Oral Roberts, the T.L. Osbornes, and then the Catherine Kuhlmans and Maria Woodworth Edder, and on and on and on. There's so many. We're standing on their shoulders, and we thank God for the miracles that were done. But even if Smith Wigglesworth, now don't get mad at me, because he's a hero of mine. But if Smith was on the earth today, there's still no guarantee that if we brought that severe case where a creative miracle of a brain is needed, there's no guarantee that she would come back healed. Now she might, because the gifts of the Spirit and working of miracles was very strong. But see, what he has prompted us to do is, again, and I thank God, and Alan thanks God, we all thank God for anybody who's preaching Christ and Him crucified, anybody who's feeding the poor, if that's their calling. Thank God for anybody doing that. But He has called us to press into a higher level, a deeper level of revival. Very recently, and this was in December of last year through Pastor Bronk, I'm just going to read the first paragraph of a prophecy where the Lord was telling us exactly what He's doing. That's not just in the church at Immokalee. It's for you if you're watching this, if you've connected with this vision. This is as much for you as anybody else. Now, this particular prophecy came December 12, 2021. The title they have on it, "It's You or Else, I Have No Plan B." And these are all available at Pastor Bronk's website in both audio and PDF format. Let me read you, because this is exactly what the Lord is doing. It's exactly what Alan was saying this morning, making this distinction between what man can do for God, but where we're going is what can God do through man. That's it. So listen how the Lord described it. There is coming a redefining to humanity. Now, not just the church. There is coming a redefining to humanity of what the church is. And the true message of Christ. I'm going to say it again. This is the Lord speaking. There is coming a redefining to humanity of what the church is. See, the world right now has an idea, a concept. They think they understand what the church is. To a lot of them, it's a little building with the steeple down in the meadow, you know, or it's the giant cathedral on the corner, or it's whatever. When you say the word church, there's an image that comes to mind. There's an image, okay? And the true message of Christ. To the vast majority, okay, of Christians, I think the message of Christ is He shed His blood for you. That's true. He died in your place. That's true. Receive Him as your Savior so you can go to heaven. That's true. And that's about where it ends. And you try and lead a good life not cuss so much, not cheat so much, not lie so much, and stop kicking the cat, for God's sake. But see, that's, to most people, that's the message of Christ. That's not His message. I'm telling you, well, that's part of it. It's part of it. But it's not nearly what He intended. So this time I'm going to try and read it again and not preach. I'm just going to try and read this first paragraph. There is coming a redefining to humanity of what the church is and the true message of Christ. This will not be seen to start with by the multitudes, but is growing in places and secret places across the land and in private places of worship and small gatherings. Hear this sentence. People that are asking for more of me, I'm coming in their lives and placing upon them a burden that they will not be able to escape. Do not ask for this. Do not ask for more of me, says the Spirit of the Lord, if you are not serious. Because I will come to you. And I will invade your life. And I will even at times inconvenience your life for more of me, says the Spirit of the Lord. For those who ask, and those who seek, and those who knock, they will be answered. They will find, and it will be opened unto them. But the defining of how I will come, to start with, for many, many of you, it will be a difference in your life that will redefine many places of your life. It goes on from there, and it's wonderful, but it's a fairly long one. He's coming to redefine even what the world thinks the church is. And he's coming to redefine what the real message of Christ is, because it's way beyond what's being seen, and for the most part, what's being even taught. And we're right on the cusp of it. I will mention this. First time I've mentioned it publicly. You know, I think we did right. I think we did what God wanted, to stand in faith the way we did for Pastor Dave's recovery. I don't feel any... I'm glad we did what we did and stood. But I'm going to tell you this. Not only myself, but many others, it's the strangest thing on that Saturday as we all began to find out. On the one hand, it's great sorrow for the loss. Dad went home. But right at the same time, and I couldn't explain it, I was so glad somebody else mentioned it to me, because I thought I was weird. At the same time, there was this supernatural peace. See? You felt it too. And it was okay. And I don't know why it's okay. But you felt it too. But then after that, I saw something else. I still see it to this. I can just, right at this moment, I see it. You know, in the Panama Canal, most of you have seen a documentary or something, how they had these huge metal gates that open while they're taking ships through there, you know, and it changes. But boy, when they open that gate, the water level changes, you know. I keep seeing huge gates like that opening and the floodwaters pouring through. I believe we are about to experience the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He has already said it's going to be bigger than the book of Acts, which, you know, that outpouring happened in a single place and then spread out over the world. I heard one prophet say this. Don't ask me which one. I won't tell you after the service either. As soon as I mention them by name. Anyway, it's in the same way. Now, there's not going to be, yes, go down though. He's answering our prayer. It's going to be like, and I'm not saying it is, but it's going to be like, instead of there being an outpouring in one place, this outpouring is going to be in hundreds of places. Because he said in another prophecy, that which was seen by one, and we all knew he was talking about Pastor Day, that which was seen through one will now be seen through many. Hallelujah. And it's a presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, not presence like Christmas, presence revival. I've been getting testimonies. I've got three lessons in here. May not do any of them. We'll see. Of course, people have been sending in testimonies and sharing what great things the Lord did through Pastor Dave in their life. Some of them I'd heard before. Some of them I'd never heard before. I'm not going to mention names because I haven't asked for permission. They would probably give it. One pastor where Dave came to preach at his church, and it wasn't like a mega church or anything, but pretty good sized church. And pastor came and ministered there, I think, for a week. And during the week, of course, they would take up offerings, and we call it an honorarium usually. Well, the honorarium for that week was $10,000, and the preacher, the son of Dave, what I mean. I don't mean Daniel. What I mean is a spiritual son was so happy that the giving had come in to that level gave Dave the envelope with the check in it for $10,000. Dave looked at it and handed it back. Said, no, the sons don't provide for the father. The father provides for the sons. I'd never heard that story. I'd never heard that. Now, there's other times when Dave received the offering. There was, but don't you love that? Another one told about in the early days, they had been saved a long time, but really had only discovered the message through Pastor Dave within the first year or two, I think, or three, of knowing Dave and knowing about this message. Hadn't developed a whole lot of time with him yet. And Dave, you know, those are the days when Dave was traveling so much. When he would preach here, we'd call him the visiting pastor, you know. But he was preaching in Chattanooga, I think it was. Yeah, Chattanooga. And Dave had called this particular pastor and said, hey, you ought to come. Bring your wife. You need to come. And the pastor in his testimony says, now, we didn't have hardly enough money to get out of town, much less go to a place like Chattanooga, which, if you don't know, it's a tourist spot and the hotels are not cheap. Much less go and spend a week with hotels and meals and all of that. We just absolutely. So here's Dave asking us to come, and he says, I didn't say anything, but I guess he could tell from the stammering. Dave put it together pretty quick. He said, I'll tell you what, if you can just get there, I'll have something for you when you get there. Well, on that, they gassed up the car in Chattanooga. Dave gave them enough money where they could pay the hotel the whole week, keep gas in the car the whole week, eat food the whole week, and there was money left over, so they followed Dave to Pigeon Forge right after that because he was doing meetings over there. And then in the testimony, now this was early in this walk, you know, and he says, I had never heard of a preacher that pays you to come to his meetings. That's our pastor. And I've gotten so many from Brazil, I'm compiling, and they're still getting together for me because so many people wanted to testify. You just can't read it without weeping. I mean, the book, so many lives changed by the book. The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. In case you don't know it, that book is available at Kindle for free. You can download it. For me, I love Kindle. I always have it with me wherever I am with my phone. If I get delayed somewhere, I can just start again reading the book. I don't know how many times I've read it. But it is available for free. It's available at Dave's website. You can download it in PDF format. But I personally like Kindle better. Because I can make the font any size I want. But anyway. And I'm not going to preach that message again, but I know that I know what Dave would say if he could come and have just the rest of this service. Whatever he said, the end result of it would be, show me your dust. Take what I gave you. Run with it. And don't stop till you finish. You got to cross the finish line. Now that's where Victoria gets her brain. And Homer and every other blind person that comes receives their sight. And all the Tommy Perez's get out of the chairs. Let's run with this. Let's show him our dust. I'm going to say this, and then maybe I get to do the message, maybe not. Presence. I started to get into what I brought for a lesson, but I saw this. Two of the testimonies that I've received were from Jim Martin, of course, and Pastor Bronk Flint. And, you know, they didn't know each other. They had never met. And they had never met Dave. Neither one of them even knew what Dave Roberson looked like. All they had ever had in those days was the cassette tapes. Jim had gotten some from his mother that she had had in an old shoebox. And he got hooked. And Bronk, a lady at the church, if I remember right, gave him a couple of Dave's tapes. Anyway, they both came independent of each other the first time to a conference in 1997. And independently, now if you listen to one and you listen to the other, they didn't know each other, they didn't know what Dave looked like, but both of them said this. The service was going great, first service of the conference, worship team was good, it was great, we were enjoying it, and then suddenly, the atmosphere completely changed. Jim Martin described it was like a warm blanket. Just suddenly, somebody just laid a warm blanket right over me. Bronk said, there was something behind me. I was afraid almost, you know, you don't want to just turn around, you know. But he said, I managed to look over there and said, I wonder if that's Dave Roberson. Because he didn't know yet. But he said this, he said, whatever that man has, I want that. Now, I said, you know me, Engineering Gary. See, I had to know when I heard that, was that before Dave got into worship or was it after? You know, what I mean by he's always worshiped God, don't get me wrong. But I got to wondering if that was before Dave fell out in the floor right over here that day and got that assignment from God to worship God a certain number of hours a day. Y'all remember that story? Am I preaching to y'all? Okay, I'm not getting yeses from everybody. Dave had been to Passion play. Give that woman right there the gold star. The passion play in some other city. And he said it was great. He said technically it was perfect. There was camels. There was real donkeys. Angels flew on wires. He said the choir was perfect. You couldn't get any technically better. He said there was just one problem. No anointing. So he asked the Lord, he says, what would it take for there to be an actual anointing in a service like that? And the Lord spoke back and said to him, well, if you would worship me all night tonight, you'd find out. Dave said, I thank God for transparency. So Dave says, so did I worship him all night? No, I didn't do that. And he says, about a year later, I think it's a little over a year later, George Moss, how many knows George Moss? We love George Moss. So did Dave. So I can do all things through Christ. So anyway, Dave didn't obey that instruction, and about a year goes by. And of course, Dave was always prayer, dear Lord, meditation of the word. Dave would do multiple, I don't know how many 40-day fasts the man did, and then 21-day fasts and all kinds of fasts. One time he juiced so much on carrots, his skin started looking orange like a carrot, you know. But apparently the worship, he, you know, before this event, he had never done it like he did later. I'm saying that for a purpose. We'll come back to the 97 conference. So anyway, Dave didn't obey that instruction to stay up and worship him all night. Of course, none of us have ever disobeyed instruction from the Holy Ghost. So it was a year and a half later, and George Moss was the guest speaker that night. He called a prayer line, and Dave normally did not get in a prayer line. Now, Sue and I were sitting right over there where Angie and Kevin and Pat are sitting right now, so we had a good view because we got a line. George is ministering down the line. At first, Dave was standing by George and coming. Then all of a sudden, Dave left George, came right down here, and Dave got in line. Had his hands kind of like that, which I thought was unusual. I'd never seen Dave do that before. Well, George got about here, somewhere right in here, I think. He wasn't to Dave yet, and suddenly, splat. Pastor Dave goes down on the floor. And I'm thinking, what in the world is going on? Dave didn't tell us for a while, but he said the Lord told him. Now, this is Dave's words. He says, you don't know anything about worship. That's what the Lord told him. Now, let me stop right there for a minute. You don't know anything about worship. This was in 1999 when that event happened. But in 97, Dave was already had such a relationship with the Lord that the atmosphere around him, it had escaped him. The atmosphere around him would throw a blanket over people. I remember that conference, 97. The reason I remember it, it's the first time I ever spoke. So I remember that conference. And the atmosphere would absolutely change as soon as Dave would walk out of that office into the room. The atmosphere would change. Now, so the reason I'm saying that, there is a certain presence that's available just through prayer, the word, and fasting. Because apparently that was the three limbs that Dave mainly was availing himself of mostly during those years. Because there was a change with the worship limb in 1999. So there's enough presence already that it would affect the atmosphere. But if you listen to Dave talk about that event in 1999, not only did the Lord tell him, you don't know anything about worship, but the Lord showed him a vision. How many remembers the pebble in the pond? He said in that vision, he says, when you spend time with me. Yes, sir. I heard. He says, when you spend time with me. He says, it's going to affect you much like that pebble in the pond. He said that pond was perfectly still, like glassy. You ever see where there's no wind? But all of a sudden this pebble plopped right in the middle of it. And then the little rings started going out. And they eventually reached all the way to the shore. And the Lord started telling Dave, said, this is the effect that worship has. It begins in you. And first, my presence will come. And it will greatly affect your and I, our relationship. But as you continue, that next rings has to do with your soul. Then it has to do with your body. He said, but son, if you'll continue, eventually those rings, that presence, I'll be able to touch everyone around you in the atmosphere. And I'm not at liberty to say how many hours the Lord instructed Dave, but the Lord told Dave, I want you to worship me without any accessories. What do you mean by that? No music, no YouTube, no CDs. Might have been cassette tapes in those days. I don't remember. But anyway, no, I want you to learn to worship me. And he gave him a set number of hours a day, and it's substantial. Gary, do you know? Yeah, I know. But Dave didn't say, so I'm not going to say. But it's substantial. Well, I'm not going to try and reteach that. Those are all available, by the way, at Dave's website, daveroberson.org. And there's Worship Volume 1 and 2 and I think maybe 3 and I don't know how many really. Everything that he learned on that path is available. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is mainly because he's leading me in this with these pictures. See, the revival we're coming to, God wants that same thing to happen in all of us. In one of the prophecies, he says, when you walk into a room, the atmosphere should change. And that's to Joe Public and Mary Wallpaper, not just the one. So the Lord gave Dave that instruction. He began to do it. That was in 1999. I don't know how long he did it, but knowing Dave, it was a long time. But let's fast forward a few years. A few years after that, now the atmosphere changed in 97 when Dave would walk in the room. It wasn't just here at the prayer center either. You could go wherever he was, and the atmosphere would change when Dave entered the room. But after obeying the Lord and worshiping him in private worship like Dave did, how many remembers the crying years? That presence got so much stronger. And I remember sitting there in a service. And I don't know why. We normally sit over there, but this time we were seated pretty close to where Rick and Kathy are right now. And it was, I think it's so we could sit next to this couple that we knew that came from South Carolina. And I'll get back to that story in a minute. Dave, during those years, would walk in the room And not only did people feel a change in the atmosphere, weeping would break out, just spontaneous. And I mean, all the way across the, it's a big, big auditorium. All the way across the auditorium, he hadn't said a word. He just walked in. This reminds me of Peter's shadow. See, why, it wasn't Peter's shadow. It was the presence of God. If you got within shadow length, you're getting healed. He doesn't have to touch you. He doesn't have to pray for you. Just walking by, they would bring people. Read it for yourself in Acts. They'd bring people, all kinds of sick, in cots, lay them alongside the road. Just hoping Peter's shadow would fall across them. It's not the shadow. It's getting within range. And it says they were all healed, every single one. And they brought them from all around. Don't you think that's going to happen again? Now, God wants that to happen with all of us, yours truly included. I remember one of those services. Dave was so under the anointing, he tried to talk. People that were here, they remember this. He tried to minister, and he tried, stumbled over words for a little bit. Finally, he motioned for Tim, and Dave sat down, and Tim comes up. Tim, the presence was so strong. Tim tried, and for Tim not to be able to talk, now something's going on, okay? I mean, what I mean is he's so disciplined, that man. Finally, now they didn't actually say this, but I could read it in Tim's eyes. He's looking around the room going, do we have any minister here that still has enough flesh to be able to stand up against this anointing? Gary, would you come up, please? And that's pretty well the way it was. Pretty well the way. I plowed right through that anointing. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? But see, where we're going is a presence revival. So I asked the Lord recently, I had a question up. I've already said this once, but you didn't learn your ABCs by hearing them one time. I'm a teacher. What do you think is going to happen? So I had a question up before the Lord because he gave me so many practical instructions in the face-to-face documents. So many. And then other instructions at the time, how to run our ministry, don't sell anything, so forth. Well, I'm not against selling anything. I'm just telling you what he told us. But if you go through all of those face-to-face documents, you won't find hardly anything in there about worship at all, especially not instructions to do private worship the way Dave was talking. So I had a question up before the Lord. I said, Lord, why didn't you give me instructions about private worship in the face-to-face? You gave me so many about it, fasting and prayer and other things. Well, Dave, God used Dave to teach me from his own, one of his series. And I'll tell you which one. Private Worship, Volume 1, Message Number 2, titled, Worship in Spirit and Truth. Available at Dave's website. Dave is speaking and he says, he was asking the Lord, now, we're going to get to him answering my question near the end of this. But for me to answer that, you got to hear this. Dave was asking the Lord why the anointing was so increased after he did the private worship. Did you know at one service in Arizona, not only did a woman's thumb, the pastor's wife, not only did her thumb get healed, but their son who was born blind, say it with me, born blind. Blind in one eye. Born blind. Got that? He got healed in that service. Glory to God. So Dave's asking the Lord, what's caused this? He said, and Dave would say, he said, I'm just quoting Dave again, paraphrasing Dave. Dave would say, during those early years, not this time, but earlier than that, he said, when I would minister, God would always show up because of my calling. And I could tell it was time to end the teaching, begin to minister, and by the gifts, God would do great things. But he said, after the meeting was over, it's like I'd go back to my motel room and God would go back to his. In other words, God would come because of my calling and during the service, all things kind of things. But he said the relationship was not the same then in those days. He says, but now, he says, I just begin to lift my hands and he just fills the room. Miracles happen. He said, I didn't even pray for that lady's thumb. I just touched it and it was instantly healed. Dave says, I was more surprised than her, but I couldn't act like that. And then their son, born blind in one eye, received his sight. So Dave's asking the Lord, what has caused this? Now, Dave has been doing the private worship. And the Lord said to him, you've touched me with your spirit, son. You've touched me with your spirit. And when you touch me with your spirit, all that I am can flow through you. He says, you won't suspend your spirit in my presence for hours and not touch me. I'll just flow through you. Now say it with me. That which worked through one shall work through many now. Because Dave asked him, well, who can have this? You know, Dave's asking, like, is it only for the evangelist? Is it only for the fivefold? Who can have this? And the Lord said, this is not the giftings. This is something available to all who believe that these signs shall follow them. So I wrote from glory, well, I'm paraphrasing Dave, from glory to glory as in a mirror, he is changing us into Christ's image. We have no veil over our face through spiritual death. We get to look directly into the face of God through Jesus Christ. From glory to glory is where he is taking your spirit. Now listen to this. If this doesn't summarize, or like part two, carrying on Alan's message this morning about leaving the realm of what man can do for God and entering into the realm of what God can do through man. Dave says, what we have tried to do is operate where we are in the Spirit. We read the word that says, these signs shall follow them that believe. And then we try to get God to go out and do those miracles for us. But he keeps trying to get our spirit. He keeps trying to get our spirit to go there where those miracles live. And we keep trying to get him to leave us the way we are and just go out there and do those miracles. Then Dave says, anybody can get there. You can get there. Hallelujah. So I think it's time that we show Dave our dust. Dave has laid down. I think he finished really the course. I shouldn't say it that way. I know he finished. Yes, sir. I'll say it a different way. God said to Dave one time. So if God said it, I can say it. God said to Dave one time, the message has come to maturity. That's what I mean by Dave. That part of Dave's ministry he fulfilled, which was restoring all of the doctrine concerning tongues, what it does for us, how it changes us. And then including the other limbs, like the word, everything to do with the word, fasting. Dave faithfully taught us every spring on fasting. And then finally on worship. And the love walk. Thank God for the love. Well, and he said, there's another one. He says worship, private worship is the key to the love walk. Private worship is the key. He also said it's the key to power. Faith works by what? Faith works by love. Okay, can I start my message now? No, it's already 11:15. Open up to John 6. I want to give you previews, whether we start it today or not. John chapter 6. See, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, which is a baby church, but they were operating in the gifts and power, He plainly said to them, I can't give you meat. They were born again. They were spirit-filled. God was using them in the gifts. He said, you come behind and no gifts. But they were all split and divided, and I'm following this one, and I'm following that one, and I'm following that one over there, and I'm only following Jesus, you know. Not that there's anything like that in the church today. But Paul said to them, he says, I can't give you meat. You're like little babies still. Even though they're Christians, God loves. How many of your parents love your babies? While they're pooping. I mean, you know, we don't enjoy, you know, the smell, but we sure love the baby. Isn't that right? Well, these Corinthians were, they might have had a little poop odor. What I mean is, they're babies. But you sure love your babies, and God loved them too, and so did Paul. But he's just flat told, you know, you can't give a T-bone to a two-month-old. You just, you know, they can't do it. So there's always been a reluctance and to teach deeper things in a public setting like this, and even more public around the world. You know, we have way a lot more people that watch. Did you know the service, the one I called, the one we called Show Us Your Dust, Show Me Your Dust, that thing's already that message has already been seen 1.1 thousand times and growing, you know, around the world. A lot more people than what's in this room, what I'm saying. So we've been careful, but I'll be honest with you, some of the things that I've typed here lately, I type in fear and trembling. God, is it sin for me to type this? I'm not sure. Well, what do you do with that? Well, you don't teach it. When I say the bread's not done yet, it's still in the oven. But he is telling me this. Every time a loaf is done, babies are not. For where we're going, we're under mandate. You speak the truth in love. And immediately I said, Lord, that's not what Paul said. He said, no, but I'm Paul's Lord and I'm speaking to you. And I'll show you from my word. And he did. So if you found John 6, now I would like to back up clear to verse 28. I am going to back up to verse 28. We got time. Sometimes it's good to just hear the pure word of God. I want to leave this in its setting. So let's start in verse 28. Okay, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, by the way, if you back up just a hair, go to Genesis 1. Yeah, this is right after, I thought it was, right after the feeding of the 5,000. Okay, so these people were there, they ate the bread. When he multiplied the bread, the loaves and fishes, and fed the 5,000. Maybe it was loaves. Anyway, when he fed them, he fed the 5,000. Gather up the fragments that remain, so forth. Yes. Okay. These are the people. They just came from that supernatural event. Verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Say, they ate the bread. Okay, keep bread in your mind. Jesus says, labor not for the meat, you could say bread, which perishes, but for that meat which endureth under everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Well, then said they unto him, what shall we do? Well, if there's ever a verse that describes the prayer center, this is our cry. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto him, this is the, if you look it up in the Greek, it means singular. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. See, right there, I want to go to John 14. Hold your place there. 14:12. Yes, it is. John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Did you notice that? This is the singular work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. John 14:12. Verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall you do also. It's talking about the same thing. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Okay, back to John 6. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, oh, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? These are the people that just got fed. These are part of the 5,000 that just watched the loaves and fishes be multiplied. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now, the purpose of this passage, by the time we get to the end of it, Jesus did not stop delivering truth, even though they were too immature to receive it. They weren't even really born again yet. Many times he taught in parables for that very reason, trying to give them a natural illustration of a spiritual truth. But here he goes beyond that. So verse 32, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up to the last day. Well, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, see, they're just thinking in the natural. Well, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he saith, I come down from heaven? So Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Well, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you. Now here it is. He does not stop because they don't understand. He does not stop. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, say many, not a few, many. Many, therefore, of his disciples, we're not talking just the Pharisees here, we're not talking to people that didn't believe. Therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, well, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? They could go, yes. Very much so. What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Now he's trying to help them here, but I'm sure they didn't get it. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many, not a few, of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now look around the room. We've been here over 25 years. We have no exaggeration. Sue and I have watched as thousands have come over those 25 years. Oh, this is the message we've been looking for. That we're going to be with you, Pastor Dave, till the end. This is what we've come to stand alongside you. We're so glad to be here. We're going to do this message. We're going to stay right till the end. And Dave says, at first, my hand would shoot out, you know, agree with them. Yes, yes. But he said, I learned over time. Not many are able to survive the beatings that come. Because when you really set yourself, see, it's not about you, really. It's not about Dave. It's not about me. It's not even really about Tommy Perez. If you want to know the truth of it, it's about Jesus. Alan summed it up really good right near the end of his message. The devil's not afraid of you. He's not afraid of your prayer. He's not afraid of really anything. Who he's really afraid of is Jesus. Jesus already whooped him once. Took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. I mean, the devil had enough problem with just one Jesus on planet Earth. But see, Jesus is the seed. In every seed, there is a full image. That's what happened when you got born again. Jesus said, unless I, the seed, fall into the ground and die, unless I do that, I'll just be one. But if that seed is willing to die, it's going to be reproduced in a mighty harvest. Now get this, and every seed able to do what the original did. That's John 14:12. And that's what the devil's afraid of. He knows if we continue on this path and allow the Holy Spirit to keep changing us into that same image, guess what? One day, the disciple becomes as the master. And now the devil's got a whole bunch of Christ people doing the same things the original did because the seed has come to harvest. I read the first teaching that Dave did at Calling in the Lost, at our last Calling in the Lost. And you got to remember that that was in 1997 when he did that. And in the early days, I counted, we had roughly 70 coming to Calling in the Lost in those early days. Now we're lucky if we got 12, 15. But see, at the end of Dave's message, of course, Dave always thinks the best of everybody, you know. He says, oh, I'm sure you all are going to make it, but he says, you'll know if you didn't, because you won't be here. Now look around the room. Many of his disciples followed no more. But did you notice Jesus didn't water down the truth, and he didn't hold it in? Do you think he knew what was going to happen? I think he absolutely knew what was going to happen. But he spoke the truth in love anyway. There's things he's going to be having me say, Alan say, Jim and Bronk and others say in the coming months that are going to really challenge all of us, me too. And I already know that some people are going to take what we say and twist it and try and use it to establish greasy grace and everything else. But they'll have to stand before God with that. All I know is when the Lord says, release it, the bread is done, I intend on releasing it. And if we lose more, we just lose more. And I noticed also Jesus didn't go running after him with apology letters. I'm sorry I offended you. I'm sorry I gave you the truth. How dare I give you the truth, you poor little thing. Let's read the rest of it. Go start the car, baby. No, I'm among friends. I'm among family. I know that. Verse 66. From that time. From what? All he did was tell them the truth. All he did was tell them the truth. But from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus, I love this. Can you just see a mass exodus of them going out the door? The 12 are still sitting there. You do understand probably there was a lot of the 70 that walked out there. I don't know for sure about that, but whoever it was, they left. Then Jesus, he like turns around to the 12. He doesn't apologize to them either. Well, what about you? There's the door. Basically, you're going to go too? Now, I will tell you, in the trying to be transparent, Sue and I have had this conversation. I have had other of you tell me that you and your wife have had this conversation. Where would we go? Where would we go? We're going to go back and have them put us back under the law. We're going to go back and tell them it doesn't matter how you live. You don't even have to repent. You can just live any way you want to. Are we going to go back under that? Then Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Thank God for Peter. With all of his mistakes, he knew one thing. Jesus is Lord. Jesus has the words of life. We're not going anywhere. We're staying right here, Lord. We don't understand everything you say. They're probably as confused as everybody else. We don't know. We don't understand what you just said, but we're staying anyway. In verse 69. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Glory to God. Just bow your head for a moment. I feel his presence. I feel there's a flowing coming in right now, a flowing. A release, a river, a current. But let's pray in the Spirit for a moment. This is a Spirit-filled church. My worship team, please reassemble. We're hungry, Lord. We're thirsty, Lord. Religion is not enough. We love your doctrine, but even doctrine's not enough. We got to have you yourself, Lord. Manifest yourself among your people. Manifest yourself within us, Lord. Help us, Lord, help us. We want to humble ourselves all the way. The same way you, Lord, humbled yourself to the Father, we want to humble ourselves before you, Jesus. We lay down our life. We lay down our life, Lord. We love you, Lord. Just worship him. I love you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. My life belongs to you, Jesus. To whom would we go, Lord? There's nowhere to go. You have the words of life. You are the bread from heaven. Give us this bread, Lord, every day. Every day we need it more, Lord. You said if we'd ask and seek and knock, we would receive and the door would open and we would find, Lord. We're seeking, asking, and knocking with all we know how. Oh, makakai andu tariki. We thank you for the life of Pastor Dave Robeson, who laid down his life in order to reestablish a portion of your truth back into the earth. And we've got it, Lord. We've got it. And we're not leaving. We're not running. We're not turning tail. You ask, when you return, will you find faith on the earth? Yes, you will. Yes, you will. We're not going to run. We're not going to quit. It doesn't matter what Satan does. You've already whooped him once. You're whooping him again. This time through us. We are your body, Lord. Laura, I hear you singing in the spirit. So if y'all would just start. You can join in. So you don't have to hear me. I mean, I'm going to join in too, though, quietly. Just sing in the spirit. Sing the lebre con my Lambaria, feel it? I can feel it. It's like a current, like a flow. I feel like the Lord would have me read one more paragraph from that prophecy. It says, I am not saying to you that you will get smaller, talking to the church. But if you do get smaller, if this house gets smaller and even whittles down to an even smaller number, do not fear and do not relent. Increase, 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 increase. 7 times, he says. Do not say within your heart, oh, I've heard these things before. Oh, I hear them being said again today. Do not harden your heart, says the Spirit of grace. For these things are being said to you because I love you. And because I have found a place within your hearts as a group of people that I can say these things to. And if a man bears fruit, did I not say that I will come and purge that man, that woman, that they would bear even more fruit, says the Spirit of grace. You are my hope in the earth. I have no second plan. For those of you that are watching and those of you that are here, this is all one prophecy to you all, to everyone. I will keep you, says the Spirit of grace. I will hedge you in. Some things are coming that will sparkle, and some things with glitz, and some things that will resemble almost the closeness of power that we are seeking God for. It shall have a great resemblance to this calling. Yet I say unto you, do not take that door. Do not take that door. Don't go down that path. The doctrine is not as sure. The path is not as filled with righteousness and godly integrity. Stay on this path, says the Spirit of grace. This is the path of the apostles. This is the path laid down by the foundation of your apostle, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do not choose the easy route. I will vitalize. I will bring vitality to your spirit. Do not be lazy in your spirit. Don't take the easy route and don't expect someone to do it for you. He who has ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. I think we are some of the most accountable people on planet Earth. I feel like I must be God's favorite to have had the privilege of sitting under Pastor Dave Roberson for a quarter century. Who has heard things like we've heard? Most of the world has not. But we are the ones accountable to show him our dust.